Good morning. Good morning, Family Church School. I hope that today finds you all in the greatest of graces with God our Father. This is truly the day that the Lord has made, and we're going to rejoice and be glad in it. For we have many reasons to rejoice. He woke us up this morning. We have many reasons to rejoice. He started us on our way. We have many reasons to rejoice. We see the smiling face of Steve Harmon and know that God's grace is still working, that we see those who were traveling last week that are back with us this week. God is so good, totally in control, totally in control. We are going to continue our lesson in this unit of displaying the courage of certain individuals in the Bible. And today we're going to look at a fellow those who are astute students of the Word of God might ask yourself, why is this guy listed here? Because God is in control. And the one thing that I would like for all of us to get out of this lesson today, Deacon Newsom, is that God is sovereign. We started talking about the sovereignty of God back in our unit, our discourse in Romans, Brother Davis. You got to always remember that. You know, Sister Betty Ziegler, that's her mantra. She signs all her emails. God is in control. And so if God is sovereign and in control, that means he can use anybody to do anything that he needs to get done. I want Steve to hear this. God can use anybody to accomplish anything that he needs to get done. Well, Steve didn't get it, so I'll go over to Bogan. God can use anybody. Say, you know, just look down, Bogan. Look down at your belly. I look down. God can use anybody. That means he can use you. And the thing about it that I love about God is that God is all about purpose. He knows the plans that you have, but he knows too well his purpose. And God is always in pursuit of purpose. And when you're in pursuit of purpose, you will do whatever is necessary to accomplish purpose. That's why Romans says all things work together for the good. That means that God is in there working it, whether he has good folk to work with or not. And many times, Sister Key, God is given an opportunity to work with folk who ain't right. And as a matter of fact, Brother Davis, in many cases, God is dealing with folk that just ain't right. And the reason I know this, Sister Hollis, is that he has to work with you and me. Every time you look in the mirror, you should say, Lord, what is it about me that you can still use? What's in me that you can still use? Because you know you. You know you better than we know you. But God knows all of us better than all of us know ourselves. Today, Sister Mills, we welcome you back. The truant officer, I had to go way down to Waycross, Georgia to get the truant officer to get Sister Mills back in Family Church School. So I just want to let you know. But no matter what, Brother Davis, God can still use her. Despite the fact that she leaves us and she vacates her position on occasion, I'm telling you, God can still use her and use her mightily. I want you to see how mightily he's going to use her today. He's using a right now. It's the fourth, and I bring a little levity to this because I am shocked and I am amazed. Every time I deep dive into God's word and find out some of the people that he uses, and then I don't feel so bad when he uses me. Because today we're going to meet a fellow. All you got to do is go to 1 Kings, I think it's around chapter 15, and it gives a scathing summation of what this guy was all about. Steve, this was a rascal. He was, as a matter of fact, some called him evil. But what happens when two unrighteous folk claim that God is on their side? See, we see that quite often, Brother Bogan, in churches. God is on our side. Deacons against pastors. God is on our side. Trustees against ushers. God is on our side. But I'm here to dispel all those claims or refute those claims, Brother Jeffries, because God ain't on no sides. God is on his side. God is on a purpose side. And we're going to see that. And it's told through the narration of the chronicle here in 2 Chronicles, the 13th chapter. We're going to look at verses 3 through 18. And our authors have entitled our lesson, Abijah Challenges King Jeroboam. Bogan's going to pray. And I'm going to share with you a life lesson in courage that seemingly won't necessarily jump out at you, but maybe after the explanation, we'll see that it takes courage to trust God. Well, Bogan?
Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we come before you with thanksgiving in our hearts, Lord God, for allowing us to see another day, full use of our limbs, blood running warm in our veins, and a desire to be here at Family Church School just to hear another word from you. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the death, burial, and resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and all that he has done for us, Lord God. We thank you for all those that have traveled, that you've watched over, dear Lord, and we pray that you continue, Lord God, as people continue to travel during this busy season and holiday. We ask you to watch over them, Lord God. We ask you to touch the pastor, the first lady, dear Lord, all the ministers, deacons, and everybody in their respected places, that you continue to lead and guide them, Lord God, as they do the work that you've called them to do. We ask you to touch the speaker right now, Lord God, as we are sitting in anticipation of hearing from you, Lord, that we will continue to be edified so we draw closer to you, Lord God. It is in Jesus' name we pray and give thanks. Amen.
Man is a sinner and cannot save himself. Man is a sinner and cannot save himself. So if God is going to do any work in creation since the fall of creation, Sister Mills, he must do it with sinners. Sinners. All that God will do in creation will be done by folk who are sinners. If God uses man, he will be using a sinner. And that's what we must remember when we get into those classical arguments about who's right and who's wrong in church and whether God is with me and if God is for me, who can be against me? Those are all pretty cliches. But you know, you really got to dig down in the depths of the understanding of this word to understand that God only cares about his purpose. And in his purpose, entwined with his purpose, are his promises. So everything that you see from Genesis to Revelation is about fulfilling the promises that God has made to man, that God has made to sinners. God is so gracious and he's so merciful that despite the fact that we are sinners, God will still use us to accomplish his purpose. God will save us despite the fact that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for the ungodly. That's how merciful God is. And so now we see in this text today the mercy of God, just as we saw last week, Sister Mills, the King Ahab repented. And because he repented, God says, I'm going to withhold judgment for a time, and you will not see that which I have said that you would experience in your lifetime. I'm going to show mercy. I'm going to show grace toward you because you repented. But in this week's lesson, I don't see the repentance, but I still see the mercy of God. That just blows me away. Because what happens is that when everybody is claiming to be good, when everybody is claiming that God is on their side, how do we know whose side God is on? I've let the cat out the bag early. God ain't got no sides. God's got his side. God is on his side. And his side is about his purpose and his promises. And when you understand that, you understand how it is that he could do what he did for this guy, Abijah. And some pronounce it Abijah, but it's Abijah. And then in some places it's Abijam. Same guy. The northern and southern kingdoms. Israel is divided. God has never talked to a divided nation, but sin has come in and there have been rebellions and now the kingdoms are divided. North, south, 10 tribes in the north, 2 tribes in the south. 10 tribes called Israel, 2 tribes called Judah. And they're all family and they're all fighting. Civil war. It's really amazing that here on the 4th of July, we would have a lesson about a nation who's declaring their independence. And then some 100 years later, within less than 100 years later, would sit around and declare a civil war, fighting each other, claiming that God is on their side. Men who wore their robes over a Confederate dress, preached the word, and then took off their robes and went out and fought their brothers and sisters in a civil war. This is a civil war, and it's because of sin. Because one person or 2 people or 100 people or 1,000,000 people decide that they want all the power consolidated. Here in the Northern Kingdom, Jeroboam, he came to power through rebellion. He was on a throne that was not promised to him. He got it through rebellion, deceit, and manpower. But when God gets ready to move and clear out all the dust, he will bring up one as we saw last week, who can speak to power from power. And in this week, we see the same thing. We see one who is given an opportunity to speak power, to speak truth, rather, to power from power. It's amazing how folk who know they're wrong, but when they get in a dire strait, they know who to call. And see, that's the difference. Some folk get in dire straits and have no one to call on. They have someone to call on, but they don't know him. But here, evidently, this Abijah is now king of Judah, and he desperately wants to reunite, to bring back together the two kingdoms. But there's a powerful guy named Jeroboam, who is weak in every way, who worships Baal, who has defiled the temple, defied God, denounced the God of Israel. He's big, large, and in charge. He's got a big army. He thinks he's bad, but God. Abijah, in comparison, is king over only two tribes. Very small compared to the northern kingdom. But he says one day, this is not God's will. I'm going to strike out, and I'm going to trust that God is on my side and will deliver this Jeroboam over to us, thus uniting the kingdom. So the goal is noble, Brother Bogan. Don't get me wrong. Don't get me wrong. Because there's a whole bunch of folk in church today. They got some noble goals. They want to think for the good of the church. But the issue is their hearts are desperately wicked too. Their hearts are just as wicked as the people that they're trying to put out of church. Oh, y'all done got quiet now. Y'all wish y'all had gone to church now, huh? Oh no, this is for us. Y'all thought this was just some little biblical narrative out of a chronicle. This is for us. This is about someone who says, God made a promise and God is going to keep his promise. I must do what I need to do in order to carry out the plans and promises of God. I've got to do my part. I'm not doing any self-examination. I'm just going on. I'm doing this for the Lord. And there's a whole bunch of folk that ain't right, but they're doing it for the Lord. They think I'm doing this for the Lord. But let's see if they are. Oh, long intro, but let's get right to it. Verses 3 and 4. Brother Bogan, if you would.
And Abijah set the battle in array with the army of valiant men of war, even 400,000 chosen men. Jeroboam also set the battle in array against him with 800,000 chosen men, being mighty men of valor. And Abijah stood up upon Mount Zemaraim, which is in Mount Ephraim, and said, "Hear me, thou Jeroboam, and all Israel."
When something is wrong, it needs to be corrected. And God will always rise up someone who has the courage to stand and speak to earthly power. As a matter of fact, if Steve, you know, he's suffering from jet lag, I would have had him read this, Brother Bogan, because you see, Steve likes boxing. And I'm glad he's back today, because I started out one way, but when I found out he was in town, I may have to curtail just a little bit, Sister Davis, because Steve likes boxing. And this is perfect. This lesson today is can be best illustrated by a boxing match. Because in verse 3, Brother Bogan read what Steve would probably describe as the way in. In this corner, we got Jeroboam, the heavyweight champion of the world with 800,000. And in this corner, we got the challenger, Abijah. He's got 400,000. Now, anybody in their right mind know that 400 is less than 800. And even the boys in Waycross know that 800 is heavyweight over 400. It's two times. But when you're on a mission for God, this is what I want y'all to get out of just these two verses, Fred. When you're on a mission, when you're traveling across these states for God, it doesn't matter about the odds. They tell you, Fred, you can't drive that far in that many days. Fred, you can't make that many flight connections in this amount of time. Don't you worry about the odds when you look at the omnipotent. The odds don't mean anything. And so here we have these two contestants of will. And one, it just doesn't seem like it's a fair fight to me. I mean, you got 800,000 versus 400,000. But Abijah goes up and he stands up on a mountain and he declares to this powerful King Jeroboam and his mighty army, here's what he says, Bogan. Verse 5.
Ought ye not to know that the Lord God of Israel gave the kingdom over Israel to David forever, even to him and his sons by a covenant of salt?
There are times in your life, in this struggle, you are going to have to stand up and you're going to have to speak to people that seemingly are more powerful than you. But when you are speaking truth, when you're speaking that which is known, you can speak to power with truth from power, because truth is power. As a matter of fact, truth is all power. And here Abijah says, let me give you a little history lesson. Jeroboam, you up here beating your chest, you coming out here against us. You got your mighty army, but don't you know your kingship is not even legitimate? Don't you realize that you overthrew the kingdom that God declared that would be out of the line of David? You're not out of the line of David. In other words, you're wrong. But you know what? If you carefully examine that statement, Mr. Wooten, so is Abijah. He's wrong. Because Abijah doesn't realize, or he maybe realizes and forgot, Brother Davis, that it was a prophet from God that came and told Jeroboam that he would be the king. Now, he told him he would be the king, But it does not negate the fact that Jeroboam had these ambitions. He was the servant of David's household, and he was the worker. Matter of fact, he was a craftsman by trade. But this craftsman, see, that's where all a lot of tension begins, is when people want to be more than what God has ordained them to be. And so they think simply because they're able to ascend to this particular position, that God must be on their side. That just because God lets you win one election, does that mean that God is on your side? Does God, because you get a chance to lead in church ministry one time, does that mean that God is on your side more than others? God is always working out a plan. You got to understand, Israel wasn't being faithful in many cases. And God will use evil men to punish you. He will use those same evil men to reward you. And we got to remember that. And so he begins to speak the truth. Come on, Bogan. Verse 6 says what?
Yet Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, the servant of Solomon, the son of David, is risen up and has rebelled against his Lord.
Ain't that what I told you? I told you that he was just a servant. But now he's in rebellion. Tell people where they are, because then you can tell them where they need to go. You can't tell them where they need to go if you don't tell them where they are. And so here he tells Jeroboam, I know how you got your power, and it's not legitimate. Verse 7, Brother Bogan.
And there are gathered unto him vain men, the children of Belial, and have strengthened themselves against Rehoboam, the son of Solomon, when Rehoboam was young and tenderhearted and could not withstand them.
Now, I want you to see something, Steve. This is just for you, because I know you like that boxing. Notice at the weigh-in, they always announce the weight. This corner, 200-pound champion. This corner, 185-pound challenger. And after the weigh-in, all you hear is smack talking. Oh, Steve, yeah, you like that. You see how I sneaked that in? I knew you were coming back. See, what's happening here is King Abijah is actually smack talking. He's telling them about himself. He's telling them, look here, you don't run up against God's people. You are not even legitimate. Let me tell you about your daddy. Let me tell you what your daddy was. Oh, and by the way, because your daddy was this, that's what you are. And you got this because you came this way. See, this is the smack talking, Brother Bobby, at the weigh-in. And there's always, you know, a warning. I'm going to do this to you. Listen up. You're here. And now you think to withstand the kingdom of the Lord in the hand of the sons of David, and ye be great multitude, and there are with you golden calves, which Jeroboam made you for gods? He said, son, let me tell you something. I know where you came from. I know what you got. And I know one thing. You got some nerve to come up here talking about you're going to come against God's people. Because when you come against God's people, you're coming against God. You bring your little golden calves up here, you know, made by your gods, and you got this large army, and you think you large and in charge, I'm going to bring you down the side. Oh, Steve, you hear the smack talking? Oh, they squaring off. This is a way in, guys. And in this way in, you always throw out the warnings. You tell them exactly where they are. You try to point out their weaknesses. And here, Jeroboam, in this particular verse here, verse 8, Fred, Abijah is telling Jeroboam, you, in all your little power, you don't have enough power to come up against God. Because when you come up against me, you're coming up against God. When you come up against the children of Judah, you are coming up against God. And all your little golden calves and all those little gods, you better go pray to them gods that you got. But I'm going to tell you, it won't do you no good. You know better, Jeroboam. But you won't do better. See, there are some men who know better, but refuse to do better. And there are some men, Regina, that they know better, and they say, you know what? I just got to do better this time. See, that sounds more like Fred and Dolores Ogletree. George Floyd, that sounds more like that. You know, hey, we know better, so we're going to do better. But there's some folk, They know better. They ain't not going to do better. Jeroboam knew better. He's not going to do better. He knew all of this. He knew that truth was being spoken to him. But here, Abijah had the courage, Sister Mill, to stand up on a mount. This was Abijah's sermon on the mount. And he spoke truth. This was his at the weigh-in. Yeah, I'm going to take my little 400,000 here. But don't look at my numbers. You got to look who's behind the numbers. You got to look that when you're fighting these little 400,000, you think that we're just little. I just want to remind you that little becomes much when it's backed up by the master's hand. Oh, they smack talking. Or he is. Verse 9, Rehoboam.
Have ye not cast out priests of the Lord, the sons of Aaron, and the Levites, and have made you priests after the manner of the nations of other lands, so that whosoever cometh to consecrate himself with a young bull ox and seven rams, the same may be a priest of them that are no gods?
Now, this is what I call getting into your opponent's head, Steve. This is what I call getting in your opponent's head. As a matter of fact, I can hear you. I should have had you read this, despite the fact that you got jet lag. Because in verse 9, this is it. Bobby, I want you to hear this. I really want you to hear this. He says, you have perverted the things of God in every way that you possibly can. You've taken things that are dear to God, and you pervert the priesthood, sons of Aaron, Levites, the manner of worship. He says, you've perverted all that. And what you've done is you've had this pay for play scheme, if you would. You know what? You're so crooked. You've gone out and anybody who wanted to be a priest or a Levite, if they had the right amount of money, if they were willing to pay, you let them play. Oh, he's talking big stuff now because he's hitting at the very heart of it. He said, you're claiming that God is on your side when you're doing everything in your power to pervert the worship of God. Let me show you how this would go in a church setting. Anybody who wanted to be a bishop, all they had to do was pay a nominal fee and they get the title. Anybody who wanted to be an important leader, all they had to do was to pay the right kind of homage. It's of God, but you have been collecting. You have been putting people who had no qualifications, who had no righteousness, had no will to praise and worship God. You've been putting them into, you've replaced the true priests. You've replaced the true preachers and teachers with frauds. People who are not qualified just simply because they had the money. Does that sound familiar? Oh, y'all better say amen. I know. And look, y'all can have a stern face if you want to. Y'all know, y'all, we have witnessed this, that we got people in amen. Churches, in government, who don't need to be there. They paid their way to get there. And so since they paid their way to be there, they run amok. They've destroyed our post office. They destroyed the EPA. They just, oh, yeah. Oh, can I stop? I'm going to stop. It's Independence Day. I'm sorry. But it does hit some. Oh, talking about the government, they destroyed our churches. We got people that got titles, Mr. Wooten, talking about bishop. They ain't bishop, nothing. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Talking about they don't oversee nothing. They got one church.
Amen.
Mm-hmm. And they think we're too dumb to read. But if you don't speak truth to power, people will go on doing exactly what they're doing. If you're not willing to stand up and challenge, Abijah challenged Jeroboam here. And at the way in, he's talking, he lays it all out. He lays out this sad history. He tells them, Steve, what he's done and what he's doing right now. See, some folk, you know, they can't remember what they done, but they can remember right now. Some of them, they ain't lost that short-term memory yet. You know, they don't remember stuff that they used to do. They don't remember that they were the biggest cut-ups in the world. They don't realize that when the music start, they started it and stopped. You know, they don't remember that when the Johnny Walker was ordered, they got the first drink and the last drink. They don't remember that. So you have to remind them. And you do it at the way in. And you don't worry about the odds. You don't worry about that the opponent is bigger. You speak truth to power. All right, Brother Bogan. We got the way in. We got the warning. We got the smack talking. It's time now. Let's see something. Brother, verse 10.
But as for us, the Lord is our God, and we have not forsaken him. And the priests, which minister unto the Lord, are the sons of Aaron, and the Levites wait upon their business.
You know what? This is why I chuckle. Because many times you've heard, Sister Mills, men, women get up in the pulpit, they preach, and they tell you all about your sins, past, present, and some of them think they're foretellers and the future. And it's really interesting here because verse 10 says, but as for us, in other words, we ain't like y'all. Hey, Steve, we ain't like y'all. Champ, we ain't like you. You know, we got some virtue here. You know why? Because we have not forsaken God. Listen there. We have not forsaken God and his priests and his ministers. In other words, we've tried to keep worship pure because we know who God is. We have not done what you've done. But beware, just because you have not done it does not mean you won't do it. How else does this king, when you look at the ledgers, good kings, bad kings, what do y'all think this guy failed? He's a bad king. So God is using a bad king to correct a bad king. Because bad is bad in God's eyes. God Almighty, wait a minute, y'all didn't hear me. God is using a bad king to correct a bad king. Because God is only interested in righteousness. God is only interested in his purpose. God is only interested in his will being done. And he uses whatever resource is available to him in order to accomplish that.
Amen.
I love this God that we serve. I love him. Now, I want y'all to hear. I want y'all to hear. Because in verse 7, he says, and they, you just got through talking about Jeroboam. Then he talks about himself. And then he says, and they burn unto the Lord every morning, every evening, burnt sacrifices and sweet incenses, the showbread was set forth in order upon the pure table and the candlestick of gold and the lamps thereof to burn every evening. For we keep charge of the Lord our God, but ye have forsaken him. We do worship right. Mm-hmm. It's only our church that do worship right. We worship, we know how to worship God, and we are doing it. but you don't do it. Today, but what about tomorrow? There's a whole bunch of great churches. There are a whole bunch of good churches. And there's some bad churches, congregations, local assembly. And they transition between good and bad when it comes to the worship of God. And just because you're doing it right today don't mean you'll be doing it right tomorrow. Mm. Just because you did it right pre-pandemic don't mean that you're doing it right after the pandemic or during the pandemic. But he says, we are, so God is on our side. Brother Bogan?
And behold, God himself is with us for our captain and his priests with sounding trumpets to cry alarm against you. O children of Israel, fight ye not against the Lord God of your fathers, for ye shall not prosper.
But Jeroboam caused an ambush to come about behind them, so they were before Judah, and the ambushment or ambush was behind them. Steve, you know, during the way in, when they announced the weights and the smack talking starts, have you ever seen those occasions where one of the fighters just sneaks a punch? I mean, just balls his fist up and slaps him right upside the head while he's talking. Let me tell you, whenever you are talking and talking smack to an enemy, you better watch him. Because while he was talking, Jeroboam, the evil one, was acting. Mm-hmm. But I want you to hear what Abijah tells Jeroboam before the ambushment. It's right there in verse 12. He tells him something very important. He tells him something very important, Linda. Did you see it, Linda? I see your eyes smart. Did you see it? It says, God himself is our captain. In other words, if now everything that I've said, I'm telling you the truth. But when we go to war, if I'm not able to convince you that we shouldn't even have this battle, because really Abijah is trying to get out of it. But if we have to go to war, let me tell you something. God is in charge. God will be leading us. That's very important. And his priests will sound the trumpets, because the sounding of the trumpet was praise to God. They are praising their captain. They're saying, go God, go God. He said, even if we go to battle, you're going to hear a chant that says, go God, go God. You won't hear it says, go Judah. You'll hear it say, go God. Because after all, Judah does mean praise. We'll be praising. We're ready to go to battle. And the only thing we're going to go to battle with, we, Judah, is praise. Because God is our captain. In other words, God's going to fight my battle. If God is my captain, Bobby, he's going to fight my battle. And I want y'all to see this. Very quickly, read through the next three verses.
And when Judah looked back, behold, the battle was before and behind, and they cried unto the Lord, and the priests sounded with the trumpets. Then the men of Judah gave a shout. And as the men of Judah shouted, it came to pass that God smote Jeroboam and all Israel before Abijah and Judah. And the children of Israel fled before Judah, and God delivered them into their hand.
I want y'all to hear something. Can anybody, any one of you great students, Fred Jeffries, Steve Harmon, Ken Ramsby, Robert Newsom, Chunta Bond, can you tell me where you saw Abijah or anybody at Judah pick up a sword, cut anybody's head off, stick anybody in the heart? Can anybody just raise your hand if you see it? If you see it, come on now, Bonds. Come on, I know, I trust your eyes. I don't trust Steve Harmon, but I trust your eyes. Do you see that in there anywhere? I tell you what you do see, Bobby. Look at this word, look at this phrase right here. It says, verse 15, the latter clause, right after the word pass, that God smoked. In other words, the battle started. They thought they were running an ambush, Sister Mills. And God, wait a minute, it didn't say Abijah. It didn't say the children of Judah. It says God smote them.
Mm-hmm.
What Abijah realized during, before and during was that we can't fight these folk with what we got. We can warn them at the way in, but in order to win, God's got to do all the fighting. Oh, and I thought about Brother Steve Harmon because he introduced me to a fighter a few years ago, man. He was telling me how, oh man, you Brother Steve, you got to see this fighter. This fighter is some kind of fighter. You know, I mean, this guy is bad. Oh, and tomorrow night he's going to do this and he's going to do that. Oh yeah. How much they weigh? Oh yeah, they in that welterweight class and da-da-da, he weighs this and the other one weighs that. And you know, he's big and he's strong, he's fast. Well, folks, I saw the fight. And as I was studying the lesson this week, Brother Davis, I realized one thing, that Steve saw the big army at the way in. Steve ignored the warnings during the way in because the warnings were there. And you know, they tried to show out during the way in just like here. But when the fight started, when the fight, I'm talking about the real fight, the guy that had all the tools and the ammunition and the resources, he just wasn't in it. That's the way Jeroboam was. Big arms, big army, much power, little production. You know why? Because the army that he had was not big enough for God. It was true. His army's arms were too short to box with God. Because it says in verse 15, Brother Bogan, just in case they didn't hear it, you said God smote them. I mean, and that's the way that fighter was that Steve had described him. It was like, man, this guy, matter of fact, he went to his corner one time and he was making some signs and I realized what they were. I didn't know at the time. It's been a couple of years, Regina. I'm sorry. It's been a couple of years. But I realized in reading this text, what that guy was saying, you know what he was saying? Would somebody take that third person out of the ring? He said, because wait a minute, it's two of them in there. And he said, I can't see him, but I can feel him. That's the way Jeroboam, because he was smoked that day. And therefore, Jeroboam, this mighty army that he captained, was defeated, delivered into the hands of Judah. And Abijah and his people slew them with a great slaughter. So there fell down slain of Israel 500,000. Mm-hmm. Verse 15, God did it. God did it. And it gives Abijah the credit. Mm-hmm. That's what kind of God that we have. He is so merciful that he does for us and then says, well done, thy good and faithful servant. They slew more people that day out of Jeroboam's army than their entire army. that can't be nothing but God. It's because that this one king was brave enough, courageous enough to stand up, speak the truth, and then let God handle it all. Can't defeat these guys physically. I can't defeat them, but God. Oh, the odds just seem so great, but God. God is working in all of this. And it says that he smote them and 500,000 more of in that army died that day that was in the whole army of Judah that day. Look at God. But I want you to finally, as we go, verse 18 says, thus the children of Israel were brought under at that time, and the children of Judah prevailed because they, do y'all see it? They don't hear me, Bogan. They don't hear me. Ain't nobody jumping up and shouting, because you got to shout me. Because they, what? Relied upon the Lord God.
Amen.
What this shows is that you don't get yourself right in order to receive the mercies and the grace of God. That God has blessed many of us even when we were wrong. But the thing that gets me even more about our God, he will bless in some cases, knowing that you'll do wrong. See, it ain't what you have not done. It's what you do. Abijah, he was in worship. He was giving true worship. And he says, I know the promises that God made our father is that David would have a king on the throne for his life. I'm going to pursue that. God is not a man that he would lie, the son of man that he would have to repent. God, our father, is God. He's the one true God. I'm going to do it. But the odds are against you, Sister Mills. But the Omnipotent one is with you also. The odds are against you, but the omnipotent one is with you. And as long as God is with us, if God is truly with us, there are many things that can be accomplished that otherwise there is no way that we could accomplish. We're not religious enough. We're not righteous enough. We're not holy enough. We don't study Bible enough. We don't pray enough. But God is with us. And if God is with us, truly with us, and you rely on God, Didn't say he went to the temple, prayed 3 days, told the Lord, hey, I need to pray about this. It says, I'm going to rely on God because the Lord is my strength. He is my salvation. Whom shall I fear? For one to come against God's people, remember this, they are kicking against the prick, as Paul would describe it. And kicking against the prick says that they're kicking against a brick wall. You're taking your bare foot and kicking against a brick wall when you're dealing with God's folk. Oh, I'll make it like this. You're kicking against the briar, the briar patch, stickers. You're taking your bare foot and sticking it in a briar patch when you're trying to kick against God's people. God's people are to trust him. You trust him explicitly. Just, understand this, Abijah trusted him just for who he is. He says, God is the one true God. And we will serve no other. May not do everything right today, and I know tomorrow I may make a mistake. But as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. go to Family Church School. Happy Independence Day. Remember that all inalienable rights were given to us by our Creator, even the right to make fools out of ourselves. However, when you look at those inalienable rights, if they're God-given, they should be God-preserved, and they should be, and God should always be given the credit for the rights that He's given each and every one of us. God bless you. God keep you is my prayer. We'll see you in Family Church.